This morning, our scripture comes from several passages in the Bible, but it's one connected story. We know the story of Joseph. It's in chapter 37, and there's parts of it in chapter 39, 40, and 41. But for the sake of preaching, I just want to lift up a few verses. Beginning at Genesis 39, verse 20. Genesis 39, verse 20. And then we'll move to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 39, 20 reads, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." Dropping down to verse 14 in Genesis chapter 41. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it.'" And in Genesis 41, verses 42 through 43. "Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hands and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.' So he set him over all the land of Egypt." And then finally, Genesis 41, verse 52. "And Joseph said, 'For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.'" It's from that verse that I want to preach from. "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." I want to share this morning from the subject, "Is what I'm going through worth it? Is what I'm going through worth it?" Whether we like it or not, adversity is a part of life. Overcoming adversity is one of the biggest hurdles you and I will face. As Havelock Ellis wrote, "Pain and death are part of life. To reject them is to reject life itself. Problems large and small present themselves to us throughout our whole existence. Regardless of how sharp, how clever, or happy-go-lucky we are, we will encounter struggles. We will have challenges. We will face difficulties and at times heart-wrenching moments." Is this meant to be a negative, cynical assessment of what we have to look forward to? Not at all. In fact, thank goodness for adversity. Learning to deal with and overcoming adversity is what builds character and resilience. Every challenge and every difficulty we successfully confront in life serves to strengthen our will, our confidence, and our ability to conquer future obstacles. Herodotus, the Greek philosopher, said, "Adversity has the effect of drawing out strength and qualities of a man that would have laid dormant in its absence." When you respond positively and constructively to your biggest challenges, the qualities of strength, courage, character, and perseverance emerge from deep inside of you. Of course, since we are human, it is very easy to get caught up in the self-pity, unfairness of life, or why me traps. When we do, we fail to recognize the opportunities for wisdom and growth that accompany adversity. However, As soon as we allow ourselves to think more clearly, we are able to let go of self-defeating and unproductive thoughts and get down to the business of dealing with what's before us. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that the hardest journey is the one that's most fruitful. Those of us who have put our faith and trust in God realize that most of God's greatest teaching moments come through adversity. In our text this morning, one such character that understands God's teaching moments is Joseph. At 17, his own brother sold him into slavery. But at 30, he became prime minister of Egypt. What happened in between is not only the stuff that makes great Hollywood movies, it makes great men. Affliction can be a burden, but it can also be a blessing. And I know that sounds crazy, but unless a lump of coal is crushed deep within the earth under the weight of thousands of years of pressure, it will never become a diamond. And unless we are pressed, we shall never discover our true potential in Christ. We have the story of Joseph as our example. Time will not allow me to go back to the beginning, so let me give you a quick overview. Joseph was one of 12 brothers that in itself can be a nightmare because men are competitive, and the brothers were jealous of Joseph, their father's favorite son. But what really ticked them off was the beautiful coat Jacob had made for his favorite son. In those days, a man's coat told much about him. It told a lot about his station in life. It told a lot about his position in the family. Joseph's coat was colorful and expensive. As a result, the brothers, who probably wore the traditional goat hair coat of herders, were jealous of him. When Joseph told them about his dream that he would one day rule over them, they threw him in a well, bloodied up his coat, and told their father he was dead. Later, they pulled him out of the well and sold him to slave traders. Joseph ended up in Potiphar's house and soon became a favorite again. Everything he touched turned to gold, so Potiphar treated him well. That is until Potiphar's wife made a play for Joseph and he wisely rejected her. She told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her, so Potiphar put Joseph in prison. And that's where our lesson begins. I say lesson because everything you and I experience in life is a lesson. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God wants you to know that there is something to be gleaned from every occurrence or incident in your life. To prove God's point, I want to look at three incidents in the life of Joseph. How his prison experience led to preparation, and how his preparation led to promotion. The first thing I want to talk about is Joseph's prison experience. Prison, that's a tough place to learn a lesson, but men and women in prison do it every day. Like some in our prisons today, Joseph was thrown in prison on trumped up charges with absolutely no validity. There was no DNA test to prove his innocence, no lawyer to argue his case, no family to press for a trial. So Joseph spent several years in jail. Jesus reminds us, in the world, you will have tribulation. But what is all this tribulation about? What can a person learn from hardship that could not be better taught another way? For one, it teaches us patience. I guarantee we don't run ahead of God when we are in need of him for survival. However, when things are going great, we sometimes sever our spiritual connection. But when life goes sour, God gets our attention again. God had Joseph's attention. Everything Joseph did was for the glory of God. That's the most important point of prison. For Joseph, it was a prison. For us, it's various trials and tribulations. For many things that we go through each and every day, we need God to get the glory. If you are a child of God, you can shine anywhere. Your light should not go dim just because you are under adversity. Your light should not go dim just because you're dealing with various trials and tribulations and challenges and situations. Joseph let God take charge of his prison experience, and he trusted God for a favorable outcome. How do we know? The scripture says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. We say God can make a way out of no way, but do you and I really believe it? Joseph found God's grace even in the midst of his grief. He was God's chosen leader, and he used his God-given talent to organize the prisoners. In other words, he led even while he was in prison. When God chooses us, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are around us, you will rise to your position in Christ. And I believe that if Joseph had nothing but stones to command, God would have caused them to bow down to him. If you are going through something right now, if you're experiencing defeat even on today, maybe you've had to cram for a test. Maybe you've been burning the midnight oil, studying your situation in light of the scriptures and asking God for the answers to your dilemma. You and I have a tribulation role to play, and God is counting on us to play it well. Tell yourself this morning, I'm not giving up. I'm pressing on. While Joseph was in prison, the king of Egypt threw his butler and baker in there too. The Bible doesn't say why these two men went to jail, only that they offended the king. Maybe he caught them talking about him in the break room. I don't know. Whatever it was, it angered him enough that he gave them both jail time. One night, the butler and the baker had dreams. They asked Joseph to interpret the dreams. This is important because, if you remember, that there is purpose in pain. Prison for Joseph had its purpose. Our circumstances and situations and dilemmas have their purpose in our lives. Joseph told the butler he would be free and get his old job back. The butler got excited and said, what about me? But the news was not so good for him. Joseph told him in 3 days, Pharaoh would chop his head and pale his body on a pole and let the birds pick his flesh. Why is it this so important? When we talk about prison, let's talk about Joseph's preparation. When we feel imprisoned by difficulties, God has a preparation plan. A miraculous thing happened. The butcher got his job back and the baker was decapitated 3 days later. Now don't run out to the bookstore and buy a book on dreams so you can get your lucky numbers. You can't do what Joseph did unless God gives you the gift of spiritual discernment. 2 years later, the king had a dream that troubled him. It troubled all of his magicians and soothsayers too. No one could figure out what it meant. Remember the butler? He was once again the chief butler. He told the troubled king about Joseph's power to interpret dreams. So the king called Joseph into the palace to interpret his dream. That's God's way of preparation. But there is more preparation coming. The king's dream was preparation for Egypt. Joseph explained to the king that God was warning him that there would be 7 years of bounty, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph told the king how he could reserve a fifth of their harvest each year for 7 years to prepare for the famine that was surely coming. Prison led to preparation. That was God's plan. We plan for small things, but God plans for the big stuff too, like saving a nation. Stay spiritually alert because the Lord may be using you for his greater preparation plans. Now check this out. What did the king say about all of this? We talked about Joseph in prison. We talked about Joseph's preparation. Now comes Joseph's promotion. And I'll give it to you straight from the scriptures. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. The king put Joseph in charge. A leader is a leader. No matter where God places you, you can be a parent at home and be a leader. You can be a worker on your job and be a leader. You can be homeless and be a leader. You can be in prison and be a leader. You can be stuffed in a well by your jealous brothers, and you can still become a leader if that is God's plan. And I love how the Bible describes Joseph's position in the palace. Everywhere the king went, Joseph's chariot was right behind his. Joseph was arrayed in fine linen and gold with a fat signet ring on his finger to symbolize his authority. And everywhere they went, the men carrying Joseph's chariot would cry to the citizens watching, saying, get on your knees. This is Joseph, ruler over all the land of Egypt. My brothers and sisters, God has a purpose and a plan for every Christian. Our lives are preordained. The only choice we have is whether to obey or not to obey. And that's called free will. Joseph was obedient. God's spirit dwelled within him, and he let that spirit reign. Had Joseph not obeyed the will of God, the nation of Israel would have starved to death. You know the story. How Joseph's father, Jacob, heard of Egypt's abundance and sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy corn. Those unsuspecting brothers begged this now 30-year-old Joseph for food. Joseph recognized them but did not let on. Instead, he accused them of being spies, bound Simeon in the palace prison, and sent the rest of them with tons of free corn back to their father, with instructions to bring their youngest brother, Benjamin, as proof of their innocence. And when they returned, they had a grand family reunion. Joseph's childhood dream had come true. He was a leader of men, even his kinsmen. We sing a song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. But the truth of the matter is, few of us want to be tried. But that is what God is looking for. He wants believers who allow their trials and tribulations and circumstances and situations to purify them and make them holy. All of life is a test. If we get it right down here in this temporary dwelling place, we will reign forever with Christ in his everlasting heaven. When Joseph had weathered his storms and come through his testing, he said, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The fierce brothers, the unconcerned slave dealers, Potiphar and his wife, the prisoners, Pharaoh, they were all links in God's plot from prison to preparation to promotion. We need a Joseph kind of faith, a no matter what kind of faith. We need to bear fruit wherever God plants us. We need to acknowledge God's sovereign sway over all of our lives. We need to submit to the circumstances of our moments. Never let the grass of complacency grow under your feet. Make your situation your field of service. If you are in crisis, make Christ your comfort. If you are perplexed, make Christ your peace. If you face adversity, make Christ your assurance. If you are in darkness, make Christ your light. In other words, be fruitful in your land of your affliction. Is what I'm going through worth it? The answer is yes.